Johnson in Durham, North Carolina. It is March 11th, 2005, and we are in a classroom at Riverside High School. The interviewer is Geralyn Patterson. This is part of the Spencer Grants Project on School Desegregation in the South and will be used as part of the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The tape number is 31105EJ. Okay, Ms. Johnson, can you tell me when you attended Hillside High School?
I attended Hillside. I began Hillside in 1963 and graduated in June of 1967.
Okay. Can you tell me what you remember most?
What I remember most about Hillside. When I entered Hillside for the first time, I was in the seventh grade. And the seventh graders were housed in the new wing, okay. New wing at the time. And I was terrified. I was 11 years old, and I was in a large building with kids who were 16 years old, 17 years old.
Right.
And I was a little frightened. I soon realized that there was no need to be, because we were not allowed as seventh graders to interact with any of the kids in the rest of the school.
Okay.
We had a separate lunch. We had a separate time to go outside. So we never actually interacted with the students. And the only time we saw them was when we arrived on the bus and when we were dismissed.
Okay.
In the ninth grade, I did not have the normal fear, I think, of Hillside, because I'd already experienced Hillside as a seventh grader. I remember Prof. Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrified of Mr. Austin because he was the most respected man outside of my father that I knew.
Really?
He was. Prof was, he was, can I use, using language of the day, he was off the hook. Prof used to walk the halls. He knew students by name.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew the families. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I met my husband at Hillside
when I
was
know
in the
that.
Ninth grade. When I was in the ninth grade.
Okay.
I was in school with my present husband,
okay.
My husband's brother.
Okay.
And as a ninth grader, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to appear more mature than I was and trying to have a boyfriend.
That is sweet.
It's been a long
okay.
time. I used to have, he and I had lunch together.
Mm-hmm.
And Prop did not allow you to walk the halls.
Okay.
If you had no reason to be in the hall,
okay.
he would stop you. And I was not aware that he really knew me
mm-hmm.
or knew of my family
mm-hmm.
because I'd not been in the Hillside District.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I was in a county school prior to, in the what was considered county prior to. One day David and I were walking the halls. I was walking him to class
mm-hmm.
because I had both lunches, he had the first lunch.
Okay.
And we were what Prop called isolating ourselves from other students.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to call you by name, roll his keys down the hall. He would just kind of slide his keys down the hall so they touched the heel of your shoe. He said, Taryn, and I thought I was gonna die.
He knows me.
He knows me. I was 14 years old and I said, oh God. He knows me by name. How does he know me? What have I done? But I remember Prop and his command, not in a detrimental way.
Okay.
He was a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
His intent was to make sure that students were where they were supposed to be,
okay.
when they were supposed to be there, respectful enough of each other
mm-hmm.
and themselves individually to not place themselves in a position where anything had to be compromised.
Okay.
I loved him for that.
Okay.
I really did. I thought he was the greatest person that Hillside ever had.
Mm.
The teachers were old when I was there. Most of them quite old.
Okay.
Some of the older teachers I did not experience because they had been there for quite some time and I did not transition to their classes.
Mm.
I knew of them because of the manner in which they conducted themselves. We weren't allowed to present dressed in an inappropriate manner.
Okay.
John Henry Gaddis, Dorcas Reeves were two that I remember that controlled through their presentation the behavior of students.
Okay.
I still do Hillside.
Why?
Hillside was to me a large community of family. I didn't interact with, yes I did, I interacted with students on varying levels. Mm-hmm. As I said, my boyfriend at the time was a senior, mm-hmm. so I...
Wait, you were a, he was a senior,
I'm sorry,
and you
he was a junior, and I was a...
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. Wait a minute.
I was going to say, you pulled him in.
No, that's right. I was a freshman when we met. Of course, we couldn't date.
Right.
I called him my boyfriend. My mother didn't know that.
Okay.
And he was a junior.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So a large
community.
A large community.
It was. It was a community, and I felt a part of it, even as a ninth grader.
How did they make you feel a part of it? How do you think they created that sense of community?
Thinking back, I think what made me feel a part is that the teachers, the Mr. Austin, Prof. Austin, the students, then the seniors and the juniors did not look down on the freshmen and the sophomores. I was in a class with seniors. I remember this very clearly. I was in home economics. And there was a senior in there, and I didn't understand what they were doing because I'd never saw them before, and I didn't know how to cook.
Right.
I didn't know how to do any of those things. Her name was Carolyn, and I used to cry because I didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Don't worry, though. This is a simple class. We're going to make an apron, and we're going to make a little dress. I'll help you."
Nice.
I'm like, man, this is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know me, but she's willing to help me survive in this class of seniors. I don't know why I was placed in that particular class, but from that class, I learned to appreciate the body of students at Hillside and what they offered to others.
Okay.
I wasn't mocked by the seniors because I was young and naive, though I was, you know, in the class. I very well could have been, but I didn't. I wasn't, and I felt comfortable there. To the degree that I tried to become involved in activities early on. Tried to run track.
Did you?
Twisted my ankle.
Oh.
Couldn't do it. So I danced in the dance group. What else did I cheered at Hillside. I was a cheerleader there.
Okay.
Book club, all this stuff. The normal little, I need to be involved in some school activities things. That's pretty much.
Did y'all hang out at the school? I mean, okay, let me start over. Tell me what it was like to live in Durham when you were going to high school. Is it much different?
Oh,
was it much different than
this? Quite different.
Okay,
now.
So how was
quite
it when
different.
You went?
When I was in high school, the bulk of the time was spent in the community with the persons with whom we spent time.
Okay.
We had a community recreational center on Fayetteville Street.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of that community center. On Friday nights, they'd have dances.
Okay.
For the kids in the community.
Mm-hmm.
W.D.
Hill.
That's it.
Okay.
W.D. Hill Recreational Center. So on Friday night, to entertain the teenagers, you had the recreational center.
Okay.
So you could go dance, and by 10 o'clock it was over, and you could go home. And if I behaved properly to my parents' expectations, I could go to the record center on Friday night.
Okay.
In addition to the recreational center, Hillside sponsored through Mr. Gaddis a performance called Mr. G's Swing School. And that was another outlet for teenagers to get out and have an event to deter them from negative things in the school. Plus, you know, time to spend with persons you wanted to spend time with. It was an event. It was a wonderful event. In addition to those two, the athletic events, of course, basketball, football, track. Track was really a seasonal event.
Okay.
Because we had, what is his name, Coach Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Blunt was, as you know, like the epitome of coach.
Right.
Of a coach.
I've heard.
He was the man.
Okay.
I think what made Durham the comfort, what caused the comfort mm-hmm. zone in Durham during that time is because we knew the teachers were concerned with our full existence. Mm. If we misbehaved, they would come to your home.
And when you were there, they would come to your home?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, okay. Ma'am. One of my teachers, I used to have a problem with my best friend and I would leave home 5 minutes before we were supposed to be in class.
Oh, that didn't give you enough time
right.
to get there.
We would run the entire way to Hillside. Okay. And one of my teachers decided to come to my home one day to inform my mother that I was constantly late to her first period class. And my mother was unaware because I left home early enough to get to class to okay. school on time. But I waited for my friend. So they would still come to the mm-hmm. home and discuss with the parents what was going on.
Okay.
I wish we had that now. I wish we could do that now. I think it would help the kids presently in school understand that teachers are genuinely concerned and they will go to whatever length necessary to make sure that you're successful.
Okay.
And that was one of the things that I enjoyed. When I look back now, it was a pleasurable event,
mm-hmm.
not a detrimental event.
Okay. So was it all good?
No, it wasn't all good. When I was in the 11th grade, I became rudely aware of a distinction, a racial distinction
okay.
within Hillside.
Okay.
I'm not light and bright. Mm. I'm brown complexioned. And there was a counselor there
mm-hmm.
who had issues with persons who were not light, bright. I remember once going to her office to find out about college and taking mm-hmm. the tests, the SATs, mm-hmm. to go to college. Honest to goodness, I did not ask her about the SATs. I said, I'd like to find out about the test
mm-hmm.
that's necessary to go to college. And after talking with her for a bit, and of course she'd ask personal information, I shared with her that my father was a mechanic
mm-hmm.
and he owned his own business. She said, well, you don't need to go to college. You need to find something to do that you can do with your hands. You won't make it in college. It's okay. I was 16, very impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
She was a counselor mm-hmm. in high school. So I believed her. I honestly believed that there was no reason for me to go to college because I would not succeed.
Mm-hmm.
That lasted for a few years into my okay. early adulthood. And I wish I could see her now to tell her, you know, when I attended the university, the complexion of my skin really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that my father was a mechanic did not matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because they looked at me and what I had to offer at the university, mm-hmm. not the complexion of my skin
okay.
and not my father's career.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the harshest side of Hillside that I saw that displeased me.
Do you think other students had similar
experiences? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I have friends who really did not go to college.
Mm-hmm.
She said it. We had no reason not to believe her. She was a counselor there. She was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And adults were respected, particularly in the high school.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't respect them, there were consequences at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
And so even with that experience, and that sounds like a terrible experience.
It was horrible.
Mm-hmm. Had important significance in an impressionable age.
Mm-hmm.
You still seem to have good feelings about it.
I love Hillside. I think Hillside is the grandest school that's ever existed. There is so much going on that was positive.
Okay.
Just the mere fact that I could say to my cousins who live in Merrick Moore's district,
mm-hmm.
I go to Hillside. Yeah, I'm going to graduate from Hillside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because Hillside had a school of status.
Mm.
There are many, many Hillside graduates who moved on to significant positions in society. I still taught at Hillside.
You still what?
I student taught at Hillside.
Oh, did you?
I sure did. Loved every second.
Okay.
Tried to get a job there. big. They didn't have any openings. I wasn't dismissed from Martin Harvey because of my height.
And
I wanted
and you
to
wanted
be
to there. Be there. Okay.
There were no positions, so.
All right. Well, let me segue just a little bit because I know Brown versus Board, education, school desegregation was in 1954. You went to Hillside between 1963 and 1967. So at this point, school desegregation has been going on for about a decade or so. And there were some stall tactics in North Carolina, but did Hillside change in any way as a result of school desegregation? Did you have white students there?
No.
There weren't any white students there?
In my junior year, it may have been my senior year, junior or senior year, I can't remember now. The first white teacher we had taught drama.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
It may have been in my junior year, but okay. I don't remember him being there my senior year.
Okay.
And he was the lone person in the school.
Okay.
Of course, we respected him mm-hmm. as a teacher because he was.
Mm-hmm.
There was no obvious disregard or disrespect for him.
Okay.
That we saw in the teachers nor the administration.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He was a teacher.
Okay.
But there were no kids. There were no students in Hillside when I graduated. I don't think Hillside had students that were non-African American until the 70s.
Well, do you remember when you were there people talking about it? Do you remember them saying, oh, any day now we're going to be integrated?
Or? I remember the principal, I think it was the principal saying that we would have to move forward. We
okay.
would need to integrate the school. But Hillside, as I said, was like the community school of,
okay.
the center
okay.
of African American Durham. And to bring others in from a distance so that we would have this diversity
mm-hmm.
really didn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
And I don't think it made much sense to many other
okay.
the other students in school at the time.
Okay.
Why do we need to diversify? We are within the school itself.
Okay.
Why do we need to bring others in?
Now, do you think there's something special at black schools like Hillside did that's now lost since schools have become integrated?
Yes. As I've stated before, Hillside functioned as the center of the community.
Mm-hmm.
The parents communicated with the administrators. The administrators communicated with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Students were disciplined for incorrect behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Students were encouraged
okay.
to accept the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost that.
Mm-hmm.
I teach high school now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in one of the it's one of the best
premier.
High schools,
mm-hmm.
or right, one
mm-hmm.
of the premier schools in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very diverse mixture of students.
Mm-hmm.
My African-American students come from an extremely diverse background.
Mm-hmm.
My other students do so as well.
Mm-hmm.
What is lost is the communication
mm-hmm.
that takes place between the teachers, the administrators, the families
mm-hmm.
on a personal note.
Mm-hmm.
When I go out into the community now and I see my students, we speak, hi.
Mm-hmm.
If they're with their parents, there's no communication.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, and I've introduced myself.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm so-and-so's
mm-hmm.
English teacher. Enjoy your child in class.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a flip side to that.
Mm-hmm.
There are also parents that I meet that I'd like to say, we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that on a public setting
mm-hmm.
because it's inappropriate to approach someone in a non-school setting to talk about a student's academic
mm-hmm.
success or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
I miss that, when I first started teaching, that was my intent, to, you know,
mm-hmm.
to save the world and to help all these lovely children and visit their homes if necessary. Well, Durham isn't safe enough to do that anymore.
Right. Right.
So I'm not comfortable moving out into the community
mm-hmm.
the way teachers did when I was at Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no hesitation,
mm-hmm.
none whatsoever,
right.
for them to come to your home and talk with your parents about your attendance,
mm-hmm.
your behavior in school. Mr. Austin, again, and I have to mention Prof. Austin, he was like the best thing that ever walked through the doors of Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
Every student in Hillside, every student, and I can't imagine anyone who attended Hillside during his presence who's unfamiliar with him and his regard for each individual
mm-hmm.
student. I know that there are more students in high schools now than there were at Hillside at the time. Mm-hmm. Mr. Austin made it a point to know each and every student mm-hmm. on a personal level, on an academic mm-hmm. level. If you were not succeeding, he'd talk with you about your success mm-hmm. and what you needed to do to succeed. He wanted to know about your interests and what you plan to do beyond high school.
Do you think we gained anything?
I think we gained access to newer versions of texts.
Okay.
We gained access to text.
Go ahead.
We lost the sense of community mm-hmm. with the segregation of schools.
Mm-hmm.
Our, and I say our because they all belong to us as mm-hmm. a whole, as a community, our African American students sometimes feel displaced. I know this because I teach them.
Mm.
And the comments that I get is, no one really cares if I succeed or not, if I come to school or not.
Mm.
That's not true.
Mm.
But we have no means with the size of the high schools now and we have no means now of communicating with the parents the way we could, or the way teachers did when I was in Hillside, mm-hmm. because kids come from mm-hmm. various sections
mm-hmm.
and neighborhoods throughout Durham. Parents are not there
mm-hmm.
during the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough direct communication, I think.
Okay. How do you think they could have integrated Hillside better? Because you said you didn't think it was integrated until the late 70s,
mm-hmm.
and now pretty much all the research says it still is not as diverse as other high schools in Durham.
It's the perception of others outside of Hillside, I think, that affects the integration of Hillside.
Okay.
Hillside has withstood the storms of segregation as a segregated school.
Mm-hmm.
Durham High was the school of focus for non-African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Hillside was the only city high school for city kids
mm-hmm.
in Durham. Again, I have to move back to the fact that it was the community. It
mm-hmm.
functioned as a community, as a neighborhood, as
mm-hmm.
a family, that students had a level of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
How could they have desegregated the schools? How could it have been better?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it could have been.
Okay.
I really don't know if it could have been.
So you don't think it was possible then to really desegregate or to integrate, depending upon your word choice?
I don't know if it would have been beneficial to anyone at that time.
Okay.
Because of the mood of Durham.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Hillside, it was obvious that a change was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was taught in the homes.
Mm-hmm.
In the school, we were taught the rulings, but we were not involved in the negative side of segregation. Not that I had a played a role in.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is important for future generations to know about the legacy? What should we learn from what Hillside has done in the community?
Students should learn, the community should know, that Hillside, the only African-American high school in Durham in the 60s, produced successful persons as much as, if not more than,
mm-hmm.
high schools that were not African-American.
Okay.
That there are so many successful persons who graduated Hillside because of the concern and regard
mm-hmm.
shared with those students during that time by the Professor Austin,
mm-hmm.
Prof. Austin,
mm-hmm.
and the teachers in
mm-hmm.
the school. The kids in present day need to realize that that's a lost art,
mm-hmm.
the community,
mm-hmm.
the focus on the whole student,
mm-hmm.
the whole family, I think is lost because we have become so grand in size and
mm-hmm.
we just don't have the time, and I'm not really sure if there's a desire,
mm-hmm.
for the most part, to interact with students and parents on that level, yeah. Mm.
Okay, so when I tell people that I've been going around doing this project on Hillside, talking to people from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s about why Hillside is so loved in the community, so special, so unique, is there anything more I should tell them?
Okay. I've mentioned this before several times. And what I want others to understand, the school as a whole cared for the students.
Okay.
Not a specific teacher, all of the teachers. Not just a specific administrator, all of the administrators. You could only slide or falter so much before someone took control to bring you back in and to help you understand. I'm not saying that to say there were no high school dropouts, because there were. And I don't want there to be a misunderstanding that we didn't have issues, because we did. But we had enough support, enough obvious love and concern for the school to succeed today at Hillside High School. It still stands.
Okay, I'm going to stop there.